Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right. Shall we start?
Let's do this podcast. It's just the two of us this time, right?
So. Yeah, but I feel like, should we still do the proper intro so it feels...
That's what probably the listener wants. We don't want to... after 208 episodes, let's not
fuck
around.
With the format now.
Around with it.
It's a winning format. It's potentially award-winning, as you
would
say.
I think we've got a bronze prize, but yeah. We could say that was an award.
Yeah, exactly. Turns out there are prizes for third place.
Exactly right. Good.
Come on then.
All right.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello, I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And
welcome.
That's it. And there's no guest. There's no one here. Feels weird.
It does. I'm sort of trying to look for them. I mean, there's Pete upstairs in the loft, but you know, he's close to useless.
No one wants to hear from him. No. We want to hear from you, Helen Thorne, because now, listener, you've probably got no idea, but unbelievably, Helen Thorne's written a book. She doesn't like to talk about it.
I know, right? Unbelievable. Like a year ago, you and I sat down and announced that I had become single.
Yeah.
That guy left you know, kicked him out. It ended. And then a couple of months later, a nice lady from Penguin Publishing said, thought about writing a book about all this shit. And I was like, oh yeah, give it a go.
Are you separated, are you? I've never heard you talk about that before.
Look, you know me, I'm a closed book, so to speak. I don't like to talk about, I don't like to air my dirty laundry. Yes, I know. It's a bit of a strange thing because, you know, you and I wrote a book.
Yeah.
You know, a top charting book that is now not in print.
Yeah. I will say, I'm not just saying this, I do think yours is better. I do think it's better. So well done. For that.
But that's good because I've actually made some progress in the last 4 years then. But the good thing is that you have written in the book, though. It's not just me. And we'll get to that in a minute about the best bit of the book is your chapter. But yeah, I think because I was so crazy or mental or whatever it was, when someone said, can you write like 80,000 words in like about 3 or 4 months? I went, oh yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, I obviously, I fully supported you from the get-go, as you would say. Not just because, you know, that's the nice and right thing to do, but I knew you could do it. I also knew it would be a bit of a fucking challenge, but that's never stopped you before.
No, I remember trying to do the maths, and every time it got closer to the deadline, I was like, oh, only 1,000 words a day. Only 2,000 words a day. For basically 3 months, I didn't have a weekend off because my kids went to their dad's. So I wrote like, you know, I'd wake up, have about 3 cigarettes and a couple of coffees, the traditional breakfast of writers, and just write from about 9 a.m. till midnight, 2 days a week. And then lovely, I was homeschooling in, you know, December, January, February time. And then we'd have to write it from 10 o'clock at night. Oh, I mean, I got it done.
And it is a triumph. I'm not just saying that. I have read it, obviously. I've read my own chapter several times. and it is fantastic. And it's so honest and so open. And it's, but what I love most is that it's very you. It is your voice, which I know your voice very well because I've listened to it basically non-fucking-stop for the last 8 years. So I'm very familiar with your voice.
Yeah.
And you know, this is you. It's you on paper. So if you're a fan of Helen Thorne, listener, and let's be honest, many people are, fucking get a hold of a copy.
Yes.
And, it's like she's in your house.
I know. And the title of the book, Get Divorced, Be Happy, came out of a delightful boozy lunch with Arabella Weir. So I want to say a big big shout out to her, because I was toying around with sort of ideas and like, how do I encapsulate what this 12 months has meant, that my life kind of went to shit, and then I went, oh, do you know what, it's fucking better. It's better than it was. And she kind of nutshelled it, really.
Yes, because I think one of the titles, there was some titles kicking around, weren't they, like, congratulations, you're single and stuff, which is all fine, but I remember saying, that sounds a bit too much like a greetings card.
Yes,
you know?
And
that's fine, but really, I think I really admire you for sticking to your guns as well and pushing for that title, because I think it's really important it has the word divorce in the title.
Mm.
And I know there was a concern, and maybe we need to talk about how not everyone who separates is married, right? So divorce doesn't necessarily apply to everyone, but everyone knows what that means. And I think if you're just separated, if you're not married, it's not a great leap to imagine this book might be relevant to you, to be
honest. Exactly, because it's really celebrating the other side, which why I was very frightened of. Because I'd been in a relationship for a very, very long time and really loved marriage. I really liked being married. I liked being in a couple. I liked all those, you know, well, not all the bits of it, but I just thought that divorce for me was like, I hadn't tried hard enough, or that I couldn't make it work. Because I did try particularly hard to make it work, but it turns out if only one person's working at it, that doesn't make it work.
it's like building half a bridge. turns out that just doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the book is, it's not just it is my story of the first year of separation, but I interviewed lots of different people because, you know, I know a bit of stuff, but it turns out there's like some experts out there who know even more stuff.
Yeah, and that'll up your word count, so that's...
Yeah, that's right. So I remember one point where I think we got to a bit, you're like, just stop interviewing people.
Stop doing this.
I was like, no, I've got another interview. And like, and obviously that takes time. And then I was like, but I've got more words. And then, you're like, just write the fucking book.
Yeah. I just know that from when I was a journalist, from experience, like you can procrastinate for fucking weeks.
Oh my God.
Just interviewing more and more people, transcribing, and it feels like you're doing more work. And then you go, oh shit, at some point I've actually got to write this.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad I interviewed, I've interviewed 40 women and one man. And the one man, of course, is Dr. Ranj.
Yes,
he makes
course.
A guest appearance in the book, which is very good. But especially, you know, when I'm discovering things like about learning how to be angry, because as you know, and probably the listeners, I'm not a very angry person. But because something so horrifically shit happened to me, I had to learn how to do that. So I interviewed people like Anna Mather, the psychotherapist, and it's like, how do you be angry, Anna?
Is it learning to be angry though, or is it learning that being angry is acceptable and okay and you don't have to push it down?
Yes, that is probably better.
That's a genuine question. That's not me trying to put words in your mouth.
No,
I'm perpetually angry, I don't I'm trying to understand.
So I sort of knew that I was angry, but I was trying to kind of go, it's okay. And I even look back at some of the texts, like when I found the love letter that revealed basically my husband was having an affair, not basically, he was having an affair, that the first text I, you know, sent to some friends in Australia was like, oh, everything, it'll be okay, it's such a shame, you know, in that typical kind of like, never mind kind of way. And I was like, I can do this, it's fine, not how other people may have reacted. Like when I found out the information, I kind of went into shock and low down, and sort of went, I can't cope with this, you know, it's fine, I'll make some dinner, I'll put the kids to bed, kind of thing. So I think that was it. And then I've had to learn, like, no, it's okay to stomp in the woods and shout out, can't, and let that out, because that's very productive
and part of the process as well. Have you found, because like, was it they say about grief, there's, you've got to go through shock and then accept it, or rage and then acceptance, and has it been like that? Because what are we, over a year into it now?
Yeah, I should be over it now.
Yeah, you're absolutely fine. Why are you still mating? Why have you written a fucking book for?
Oh God, drag it out. Jesus Christ. Monetize the fucker. It absolutely is that. And I think it was Tanya Moody told me, the actress, and she said it takes 2 years. Someone came up to her after her marriage ended, and it hasn't been linear. Like I was in those sort of shock periods for a while, and then I got sad, and then I got angry, and I think I needed to really dig deep into those. And then the happiness kind of came from that. But I don't think I could have felt as elated if I hadn't really, you know, chow down to into a good bit of sadness as well, and let myself have a good old cry when I needed to, and a shout. But you were very good at outsourcing the rage, because I remember if I got more information or more shitty things were revealed about, you know, what's his face, I would sort of go a bit inward, but then you'd be like, that's fucking outrageous, that's shit, and you were really good at, and that almost felt like a relief as well, because you could identify those feelings pretty good.
Yeah, I you know, that's my coping mechanism, and it's not necessarily superior, and it's certainly not good, I think, to be angry all the time and to hold on to anger and to bear grudges. I don't like any of that shit, but I'd like a little bit of rage just to let it out.
Yeah.
But I think for me as well, I just want to kind of be clear that it wasn't just like, lots of people have affairs, right?
Yeah.
And it happens, shit happens. And sometimes people meet someone at work and they fall in love. Or sometimes people get pissed at a Christmas party and do something stupid. Or sometimes people are just unhappy and it manifests in a bad way and then they have to extricate themselves from it.
Yeah.
This was not the situation here. This was a massive betrayal of a whole new level. And also I found the aftermath very enraging, because I found it very upsetting that, you know, if I've done a shitty thing to someone, I like to think I will hold my hands up and go, fuck, I've really done this shit. And we've all done shit things.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all made terrible mistakes. We've all done awful, awful things.
Mm.
And it's about what you do afterwards as much as it's about the shitty thing.
Yeah.
At least. And for me, it was like, why is there no, you know, there should be more remorse and more care here. And I felt that there was a lack of care for your feelings in the aftermath. And I was like, so I had the rage of like, this has been done to you, but also the rage of, and it's not, you're not being looked after properly. Like, no one's kind of going, look, I fucked up, how can I make this better for you and the kids? Like, what's the best thing I can do? So
yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that, and that, you're so good in your chapter writing about caring for me, and that will be so helpful for people who are in your position, because if the stats are right, 42% of marriages end, then, you know, if it's not you that gets divorced, who's going to be your best mate?
Mm.
And we've all got to...
Or your mum or your sister or, you know,
Yeah, your brother or whoever. And that's what I found really unfair about the pain that I got, was that it wasn't just me that it was the experience. It was like when I had to call my mum and tell her what had happened on the other side of the world. And I remember I put it off for a week because I just knew I was going to break her heart, and she was in Australia and the pandemic was just about to hit. And I just thought, fuck, the pain that was caused to me is now ricocheting and exploding to all the people that I love who care about me.
Mm.
And that's a hard thing to kind of manage as well, because you're grieving yourself, but then, you know, I naturally am thinking of other people's feelings. I'm like, it's all right, I'm going to cope. But I wasn't really. There was times where I wasn't coping at all. So I think that's why kind of the book was written when I was in that raw state. And I think that's kind of good in a way, because I've read other divorce books, which I think people have written much longer down the line, which are much more sort of peaceful and, you know, reflective and all that sort of stuff. But this book I've kind of written while I'm in it, and I feel like that's when you need the most advice, when you're kind of drowning in all the emotions, like, how do I deal with sadness and rage, and, you know, when should I call a lawyer and all that sort of stuff. But there is a lot of lols in it, I must say. Like, you know, there's some really funny bits, especially when I'm sort of stumbling into my new life. But I also sort of talk about what marriage meant to me, and I'm the daughter of a vicar and my parents have been married for 56 years. So I sort of talk about why I held on to it so tightly and, you know, how our self-worth can be wrapped up in relationships, or feeling like you're more complete if you're a relationship. And I want to smash that down, Ellie.
Yeah.
I want to rip
fuck
that
it up.
Fuck it up.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do in the book as well. So, but yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's written in a like highly sophisticated way. It is like sitting down and having a chat with me going, listen, this is my story.
I don't want to read a highly sophisticated book. I'm very tired. I don't want Anna fucking Karenina. I just want something readable that's, you know, entertaining and enlightening and maybe a little bit sad. And there are really sad bits in the book because, you know, I don't know if this bit is in the book, but when I remember you saying my dad came to your house, I think in lockdown, to drop something off or something.
Yeah.
Just after it all came out, and my dad cried.
Oh my God, I know. It was really beautiful. I remember he knocked on the door and you'd given him something to drop off. And he just stood at the door and said, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. And it was so, oh my God, I'm going to cry thinking about it. I should have put it in the book. Damn it.
Oh, don't worry. Anyway, we love it. He won't read it anyway.
But it was, yeah, I just thought, oh my God, poor Jim's crying. Everyone's crying. And
yeah, you've made a 73-year-old man cry. Well done. He's fucking lived through a war. No, he hasn't. Hang on, he hasn't.
Oh my God.
He's lived through a World Cup.
But it's good not to shy away from sadness, and it's good not to shy away from pain, because, you know, affairs happen all the time. Divorce happens all the time. But when it happens to you, it's fucking shit. And it, you know, you think your life is going in one direction and then it goes in a completely other thing. And everything you think you knew about what your life was or who that person you were in love with is completely different. And so, you know, it doesn't just affect that relationship between you and your ex. You know, things like trust and all that sort of stuff really have been rocketed. And that's why I've had to do lots of fucking therapy and things like that, because I'm still really pretty frightened about going into a full-blown relationship, because I'm kind of a bit frightened that it'll happen again, which I shouldn't do. And I know one day I will do
that. Well, maybe
that.
No, but maybe you should. I don't know. Maybe you should be, mate. It's still less than 2 years. Mm. And maybe you are still healing. I love how we're now taking Tanya Moody's thing as this absolute goal, that's absolute set in stone.
I know, on the 4th of March, 2022. Yes.
You'll wake up and you'll be absolutely fine. But I know that certainly it resonates with me, because I know that with my own, I mean, I had a premature baby. I don't really usually talk about it, but for me, it was, someone said to me 2 years, and it was 2 years to get over that trauma. So obviously different trauma, and there are some traumas you never get over, and we understand that. But I think that's a good number. But my point is, maybe that is actually your brain being protective and saying, we're still healing and you still need time to work out who you are and what you want and what your values are and what you'll tolerate and how you want people to treat you.
Yeah.
And maybe it is too soon to go straight into another relationship. I mean, you were married for over 20 years. I think going straight into another relationship, like just after coming out of that, would be insane.
Who would do that? Hey, hey. Anyway,
maybe do some work on yourself.
Yeah, that for me also, you know, it is a bit like coming out of, you know, not out of jail, but like I just sort of want to taste everything. I want to live my life as a single person as well, and I just fucking love it. I am happy, and I can't. I hope I've articulated that well enough in the book.
It's called Be Happy. I mean, there's the clues in the fucking title, mate.
Yeah, and I just didn't think I could feel this happy. Like, you know, when I wake up in the morning and go, I love my kids and I love my cats and, you know, I love my job. And, you know, all of that was there beforehand. And I, you know, worked really hard with you in the last 8 years to, you know, build up what we've got. And I haven't shied away from any of that. So I just don't feel like I'm missing out on anything not having a partner.
But be honest, partner or no partner, are you happy all of the time? Because that's what I get asked most about you when you're not there. People go, how is she really? And they do a head tilt. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. don't really care. Who? What?
Helen Mirren. No, I don't know her.
Because, you know, you do post a lot of happy stuff on Instagram, and your book is called Get Divorced, Be Happy. But is it, I mean, are any of us really happy all of the time?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I had a sad moment a couple of months ago when it was my ex's birthday. And for some reason, I got really upset. And I thought, I'm not sad because I miss him. I'm not sad, you know, because, you know, I want to buy him a present. I'm sad because I feel sorry for that girl who gave him all those birthdays and all that love. And, you know, it clearly wasn't reciprocated, maybe some of the time. And there were lots of happy moments. We had lots of happy moments and, you know, there were two magnificent children and all those sort of things. But I just, that I get surprised sometimes by what will upset me. And, you know, and I have to have an ongoing relationship with the father of my children and all that sort of stuff. And they are, you know, sometimes the wounds get opened again with different things and different challenges. And that's what I have to continue to kind of cope with. But I think you did that amazing analogy about the ball just getting smaller. You said a ball and box were very
which
big.
I didn't make up, I read it somewhere, but about grief is like a ball in a box, and when the incident first happens, it's this massive ball in this tiny box, and then over time the ball, and every time it touches the sides, that's pain. So at first it's kind of always touching the sides, and then over time the ball shrinks so that the pain subsides. It happens less often, but then when it does happen, it's almost more of a shock because you weren't expecting it, so it can be just as overwhelming, if not as sort of viscerally painful. It can still really overwhelm you and where you are in your day. So how big are your balls?
Well, they're significantly smaller, and also I think I'm stronger and I feel more resilient, and also I don't shy away from the pain. I go, right, I'm going to feel sad today, but tomorrow I know I'm going to feel happy. And so you know it's not an ongoing thing. And I'm like, going to have a bath, I might have a cry, and I'll almost purposely make myself cry. I'll put on a really sad song. Like, I won't, you know, try and happy myself up, which, you know, is my natural sort of go-to. So I'll just sort of sit in it and go, oh, I'm feeling really sad, and it is sad, or I might write something down about it. So I think, and now I've got better strategies to deal with it as well. Or just, you know, again, go out into the woods and swear a bit. And that's quite a good mechanism for getting it out. But I now know that it's not forever. And you don't, I think something what Anna Mather said, you don't become the rage. And I think some people feel like if they turn that tap on, it's never going to come off. But you let the rage go through you, or let the sadness go through you. You don't become the sad. So I think that's really good. And I just know how fucking loved I am, and I know that I'm trying my best, and you know, I do fuck it up. And being a single parent can be really overwhelming when, you know, I have them 5 days a week, and I know other people do it 24/7. But there's just times where I'm just like, I'm the only one. It all stops with me at 11 o'clock at night, going, like last night we washing my daughter's school skirt in the kitchen sink because I hadn't washed it, like really late at night, and then just going, no one else is doing it. Come on, just buck up and get on with it. And I was tired. But then that gives you a sense of achievement as well. So there's those sort of things. But yeah, I do have sad moments. And, you know, and I had a sad moment a couple of weeks ago on a date where I kind of misread the whole situation, and I had to go home and have a bit of a cry.
Say misread, I say was misled. But perhaps that's a story for another time.
It's a story for another time. So I'm learning a lot about that. And you know, there's times where I kind of go, I'm really cool with just having casual sex. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect me emotionally. I'm really cool and modern about it. And then I go, am I that okay with it? You know, when I've met someone that I really like and only, you know, evolves into a one night stand or something like that, I go, okay, how am I, is this okay? Should I have just gone out to dinner with friends and been nourished by them rather than try and get a hit of, you know, sex and
sausage?
I mean, I like sausage is good, but maybe I should have had a kebab instead. Not in a sec, anyway, you know what I mean.
Sausage or kebab, the new game show,
hot dog or burger. Yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But you mentioned a minute or two ago, you mentioned strategy. So I'm trying to think about anyone going through this. And like you mentioned, like going into the woods and screaming. What were the other strategies that you developed to get you through? I want a nugget, Helen. You know I love a nugget of wisdom. I want a life hack. I want practical tips, hints and tricks.
It's funny you should say that, because at the end of every chapter, I have a little summary.
Oh.
Things I've learned about relationships and the shock of separation, for instance, for the first, you know, chapter. And so at the end of each chapter, like about getting happier or whatever, there's little nuggets of wisdom for people to kind of take away. And if you are a bit like me when I'm reading a book, I'll read something and then forget it instantly. So there's sort of like little tidbits about things I've learned about being a single parent or about getting divorced and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like getting angry, like my therapist suggested, and also Anamatha, like print out a picture of your ex and stick it on a pillow and punch that for ages.
Nice.
That's a really good thing. Find really fucking angry songs. I just found saying things like, I really fucking hate you, really loudly in my bedroom. I remember saying that for the first time a couple of months into the separation. That really helped.
Mm.
Now, I also should say that I know people get divorced in nice ways,
yes.
Nicer ways. And I've sort of interviewed couples therapists about what's a good way to get divorced or what's a good way to separate. And also, how do you know when a relationship is at its end? Because that's what I get asked a lot by strangers from the internet. It's like, how do I know that it's done?
Yes. And I've found that, again, just to make it about me again, yeah. I have found that not upsetting. Like, it doesn't upset me, but I don't know what the word is. It's opened my mind, let's say that, because you and I obviously share an inbox on the Scummy Mummies. You're better at looking at it than I am. But I do check it now and again. And pretty much almost daily, don't we? We get a message always from a woman saying, you know, I'm thinking of leaving my husband. Sometimes the husband's done a terrible thing or is a terrible person. Sometimes they're just like, I think it's over. How do I know?
Mm.
And I really, really feel for them, because I feel like, God, if you're asking, well, they're not really asking us, they're not really asking me, they don't give a shit what I think. But if you're asking someone on the internet that you feel like you know, and we do share a lot, but really you've never met in real life, then I think you're really in the fucking hole, aren't you? And
yeah.
what do you say to them?
Because I've had hundreds of these. I always say, you know, talk to a really close friend, or if you can afford it, if it's available, talk to a therapist about this.
Mm.
And then I just say, look, this is what I have done and this has made me happy. But I can't tell them. I don't know their circumstances or who they are. But I also think if you're reaching out to a stranger on the internet, you kind of already know.
Hmm.
You know it's probably done, but it's, you know, that you want someone kind to say you're going to be okay. And I think that's I think, you know, I'm thinking about the work we've done as Scummy Mummies. I think that's what we've done from the get-go, is made people know that it's okay, that you feel normal. And I hope that's what this book does as well, is that you know, you can get through the hard shit. And women especially are excellent at doing it, and excellent at asking for help, which I was very bad at. But lots of friends said, how can I help? And initially I was like, oh, it's fine. I've got Deliveroo and tissues and wine. But no, they were like, no, I'm bringing over a bowl of soup. I'm bringing over, as you did, beautiful lasagna. Oh. That was amazing. And fucking lamb biryani.
Yeah. Good times.
That was very good. And very posh steak and some discount donuts.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So all those are things. But I mean, you know, I know it's a lot of work if you're going through it, but it's also a lot of work as a friend. And you've been incredible, Ellie. Like, I have been spoilt, and I got a birthday book that was amazing that you put together. Can you tell the listener?
Oh, I'd love to talk about, once again, make it about me. And so I did, for your birthday, I got everybody, not everybody, obviously, one person wasn't invited.
Oprah wasn't in there. I was very disappointed.
I got people who love you, of which there are hundreds, to send a picture and write a funny thing, whether it was a poem or a little story.
Mm.
And we did an A to Z, an alphabet of Helen. And it was very easy to do, to be honest, because everybody loves you and everybody's got something to say about you.
Mm.
So the thinking was, A, I didn't know what else to get you, but B, I just wanted you to have something, because I knew you were still having low points. This was last October, and you were still having low points and thoughts about self-esteem and love. And because it's a massive deal, if someone you've been with for over 20 years does that, you know, and of course that's going to affect your self-esteem. That doesn't make you weak. That doesn't mean you're not going to get over it. But of course you're going to be fucking damaged by that, if temporarily. So I just wanted you to have a little physical reminder that was actually nothing to do with fucking social media and the internet, which we do for work and that, that people do love you and care about you.
It was so beautiful. And I often go to it, actually, because it was like, you know, people like my sister, but then, you know, it was people we've met through work, but then, you know, lovely, you know, kind neighbours and things like that. And then TV's Jeremy Vine.
Yes. Close personal friend. Jeremy Vine.
It was very nice. And Woman's Hour, formerly of Woman's Hour, Jane Garvey and Fee Gover. But yeah, look, it was just the most beautiful act of kindness. And I think that's it. And I was so overwhelmed by all the love, and just so grateful for that. And then what friends would do. And just checking in. I had one of my best friends in Australia, Taz. She, in the first couple of weeks, said, I'm going to call you at 10 a.m. every day. And you can pick up the phone or not pick up the phone, but that's just going to be with you every single day. And that was so beautiful. And there were times where I was just like drinking a cup of tea and I watched the phone ring and didn't hang up because I thought, I don't have the words today. But I just even know that she was thinking of me was really lovely. So I think that was great. And yeah, and I did cry a lot when I was writing the book. It's been incredibly cathartic to kind of sit down and but also just to map out what this year has meant and what I've done and what people have done for me. Because I think when you're in that fog, it all gets sort of, you're just sort of looking at the next day ahead and you don't realise how far you've actually come along. And also that, yeah, the community of single mums is incredible. Every time I started posting about it or saying, oh, you know, this is this, the wave of love from all the Scummy Mummy followers was extraordinary. And that was a reason I think I got the book deal, is that the publisher said, you're speaking so positively about being a single parent and that voice isn't very heard very often. Or, you know, when you say single mum, it's often with head tilt and, you know, broken family, failed marriage and all that sort of stuff. And it feels like it's the opposite of that, because I feel so fucking happy. And yeah, and what my friend Nellie said to me in the middle of the night one night, was like, he's done you a favour. You don't believe it now, but him having the affair has set you free. And yes. I feel like that, yeah.
Because the affair is one thing, and that's a shitty thing, but also just within the marriage, there were things, little incidents you would tell me about, some that are in the book, and I would be open-mouthed.
Yeah.
And be like, my husband would never do that or behave like that or treat me like that or say that to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would tell them as funny stories and people would laugh, but I could also see people going, wow,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't challenge that too much because I just thought, well, for you, that's normal and that's what you've decided is acceptable. And
yeah,
we all have different boundaries and different, but now I'm just so happy for you that you can see all that for what it is and you're free of that shit.
Yeah. Exactly right. And there's a great quote by Arabella Weir in the book, and she said, don't put up with behaviour from your partner or husband that you wouldn't put up with from a best friend. And she gave these great examples, like if your husband sits down and said, oh, why'd you cook the broccoli like that? Or, you know, Chardonnay, you know I hate Chardonnay. If your friend said that to you, go, fuck off, get out of my house. Like, don't speak to me that way. But somehow this has become accepted in some relationship. I know you wouldn't accept it and I won't accept it now. But yeah, I just feel so fulfilled in, you know, my children and my house and my career, that, yeah, you'd have to be pretty fucking exceptional to walk into my house, to be honest, because nothing is worth risking any of that anymore.
No. And I definitely wouldn't accept Chardonnay either. It's the devil's piss. But if you gave it to me, I'd simply go, oh, have you got any other wine? You know, anyway.
That's... I'm not drinking alcohol tonight, Helen.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, one of my favourite bits in the book, there's filth in the book, Helen. Go on, everyone wants to hear about filth.
Oh, come on, the final.
Talk us through the filth.
The final chapter, which I think is called
Getting It's called My Filth and Me. No.
My Big Fanny. No, it's called, I think, Getting Your Sexual Mojo.
Getting My Sexual Mojo Back and the Joys of Wanking.
I know. Hopefully. Look, I can say it out aloud now, Ella. I can actually talk about sex and wanking. So, one of the longest chapters in the book is, of course, getting back into sex. And one of the things that happened to me, which was massively confronting, was about 3 weeks after the separation happened. I really wanted sex. Like my libido kind of exploded. And I've spoken to lots and lots of other divorced women, and they were like, yeah, I just wanted to fuck someone straight away. But obviously the pandemic happened, and that kind of put a bit of a stop on that, which I think was a very good idea, because I was pretty vulnerable. I think I would have fucked anything or let anything fuck me. So I had a good 3 dry months of not having sex, and then woof, off she goes. But one of the things I really enjoyed was getting into
it's just me, ignore it.
Okay, one of the things I really enjoyed was getting into wanking and getting sex toys and really enjoying that. And I think that was really good, because that's something I was quite shy about beforehand, and I think that's made me enjoy sex more. But I just decided that when I got onto online dating, that I'd just sort of meet a variety of men, because I've had like the same boyfriend partner for 22 years. So I've met younger men and older men and men from all around the country. It's been a bit like around the world in 80 cocks.
Blowjobs.
Oh, having a lovely time. But, you know, I've been safe and consensual and all that sort of stuff. And some of the young blokes have been delightful. I've had a lovely time with the young ones. But it's been a real learning curve. And I kind of wanted to find out what I behaved like. And a few of the first dates, and again, and you've been very good in challenging that, about how my behaviour is to please and what version of myself I give to somebody else and how I behave around that. And that's a whole new ball game as well.
Well, there we go. So yes, it's got filth in it. It's got sad bits. It's got happy bits. It's got moving bits. It's got emotional bits. It's got informative bits, educational bits. Most of all, it's got my bit. It's Get Divorced, Be Happy. It's by Helen Thorne, and it's out on the 29th of July. And it's, honestly, I'm not just saying this, it's one of the best books I've ever read. And I'm not just saying that. If it was just a good book, I'd just be like, oh, it's a good book. But it's not the best book I've ever
no,
read.
No, I don't think it's going to... I don't think it is potentially award-winning. I mean, it is potentially award-winning.
I've read Riders by Judy Cooper. That's all I'm saying. But it is a brilliant book. And as well, I want to say to the people who are still married or with a partner or whatever, like, don't be afraid of it. I think there's just sometimes maybe this book isn't for me because it's about divorce, or maybe, or, you know, and I think, like you say, Helen, there's a very high statistical chance that we'll get divorced. And I don't think this book takes away from marriage or is damaging to the concept of marriage. I think it's an honest and very interesting perspective from the other side. If that isn't something you've been through, again, you're going to know someone who goes through it. Why not educate yourself and arm yourself with the tools? There's stuff that I know now that I really wish I'd known when all this started about how to look after you and what you needed and checking in with you, and it's all practical stuff that's in here. So fucking well done.
Thank you, Ellie.
We've got to have a word from our sponsor as well. Hang on, I'll put it in here.
All right. Hey there, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Inner Loop Rechargeable Batteries, Ellie.
Yes, I see what we get through loads of batteries in our house. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, there's the kids' toys and then there's my own toys.
Yes, that's right. And so, yeah, they can end up really expensive. But that's what's great about Inner Loop batteries is they're rechargeable. You can recharge them up to, guess how many times, Helen?
I don't know, 100?
No, you idiot. 2,100.
That's unbelievable, Ellie. Think of the savings. Think of how much money you're going to. And also, you'll never not have batteries.
I know. And they're better for the planet. So, yes. And Enerloop batteries are good as well because they last much longer than the competition.
That's bloody excellent. Yes. Thank you, Enerloop.
Yes. Thank you, Enerloop, for powering this episode.
I see what you've done there.
Yes, powering batteries.
Yeah, very good.
So,
Enerloop.
Right, there we go. That was the word from our sponsor. Should we do Scummy Mummy Confessions, or should we? I mean, I don't know if I've got one.
I don't think I do. I think I just, you know, the whole book was writing the book was like a Scummy Mummy Confession because I just drank and smoked and Deliveroo'd everything for basically 3 months. And so, yeah, and then I got a health test and at the end of it, they said, you've got no immunity. Like, you're lacking in vitamin D. I was like, yeah, because I've sat inside for 3 months for writing a book. So since writing the book, I've got, you know, fit and healthy and done some running and all that sort of stuff. Again, I don't like to mention I do exercise, do I?
No, me neither. Don't like to talk about the fact we're running the marathon. You could sponsor us if you like. That would be scummymummies.com.
That would be a lovely thing. Now, I should say, so the book is out in the UK on the 29th of July in audiobook and Kindle and hard copy, but you can get those things internationally from then. And then it's out in hard copy on the 19th of October in Australia.
Oh, very good.
So you can buy that, but yeah, you know, buy it where you like, as you would say. Where can I buy my own book, Ellie?
And can we do the thing you always used to in the podcast where you flip the pages? Hang
just
on.
Here you go. How many pages is it?
Well, it's fallen open naturally at my bit. That's because it's my copy, and I've been rereading it.
Ellie's chapter is magnificent. It is the best.
And the audiobook is by yourself. And again, I do my bit. So there's
And dudes, like, I had stumbled over it. The lovely thing about audiobooks is they'll cut it together so I sound like Shakespeare.
Yes.
But it was just like, give me a minute. And then Ellie Gibson comes in like, oh my God, you were just amazing. You barely faltered. It was amazing.
What can I say?
We allowed an hour and a half and she did it in 5 minutes. Let's just say.
Let's just say that's not the first time someone said that. So there we go.
Oh, it's great. Well, thank you, Ellie.
No, thank you.
And you're the best. You're just the best friend. As I said, I realised that one comedy wife is worth 1,000 husbands, and I stand by that.
Oh, and I'd agree, even though I'm still married. So that's nice. No, thank you. And like I say, I do say in the book, in my bit, which I wrote, which is the highlight, I never doubted that you would get through this divorce and that you would be happy and that you would be all right. And I never doubted that you would write this book despite the lockdown, despite the length of it, despite what you were going through emotionally at the time. I had no doubt you would write this book and I knew it would be great. I didn't know it would be this brilliant. Aww. Actually, no, I probably did. Anyway, the point is, it's brilliant.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
Well done. I've decided this is going to be the first one that we've done on our own that I'm not going to cry in.
Well done. Don't so, cry. Don't.
Oh, it's going really well.
I'll just cry for us both. It's really nice.
I need to have a locket. I've just got something in me in my throat.
Oh my God.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and thank you for supporting Helen and me through this thing.
Yeah,
what you've done.
Yeah, and we're going to have a big party.
Yes,
and celebrate it all. And
we really appreciate all the likes and all the comments and all the messages from people, and it does keep us both going on the shit days, because we all have shit days. So we're very grateful. Thank you for all your messages and everything. Sorry we can't reply to every single one all the time. But we live in a human timeline, and there just simply isn't chronologically. Oh, it's impossible, and
children,
I apologise. Oh, these fucking kids!
They suck the time.
Yes, who we do love dearly. Must remember to pop that in there.
Yeah, we do.
Right, I haven't actually shed a tear, so let's go, and then we can do that in private. It'll be nice.
Oh, that's good. And you have to listen back to it and edit it, so well
done. Oh, I just put the music on the beginning and the end. I think we're basically flawless. I think this one's a fucking banger.
Done. All right. Thank you for listening,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Buy the book. Okay. Until next time. Love
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
I've always been very proud to be your double act partner, but annoyingly, I'm more proud of you now you've done something on your own. So what does that say about our business and relationship? Not sure. Probably it ends today. Let's just end it now.
Well, you've been an absolute...
Let's get divorced and be happy.
And now we announce the end.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.